Hello, and welcome to Healed and Restored. I'm your host, Elza Spady. One of my favorite things about hosting this podcast is that I'm privileged to be able to showcase people and organizations from all over our Charlotte Diocese who are doing amazing things for the kingdom of God. On today's show, my guests and I will highlight the wonderful work being done by the Missionaries of the Poor right here in Monroe, North Carolina. It was back in 1981 that Father Richard Holung, a pastor of St. Thomas Aquinas Church in Papine, Jamaica, founded the Brothers of the Poor that would later become the Missionaries of the Poor, with the main objective of building family and community among the poor and disadvantaged. He accomplished this by building a community of religious brothers and priests who live in community, share all things in common, while serving the least of society, the poor, the destitute, and the homeless. Through the invitation of our Bishop Jugers, the Missionaries of the Poor in Monroe became the first international mission established by the Missionaries of the Poor in the United States in 2009. Located in the densely populated Spanish-speaking community, they now live on a 2.5-acre property dedicated to the Guardian Angels in Monroe, North Carolina. Today, I have the pleasure to have with me one of the brothers from the Missionaries of the Poor, and also my friend Charlie Magro. Charlie volunteers at the center on a regular basis. Thank you, Brother Morris and Charlie, for joining me on Healed and Restored today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. You guys were supposed to be here last week, but as many of you know, my sweet mother-in-law passed away, and we flew to Bismarck for her funeral last Monday. It was a sad day for all of us. We had to let her go. She was a second mother to me. She had been for these 20 years that I've been married to my husband. And it's not always easy to let your loved one go. Even though she was ill for a while and we kind of expected this, it was still very hard. It is also very hard that it's right around Christmas, you know, and the kids really adored their grandmother. So this was not easy. But thank you. Thank you for understanding. You guys rescheduled to be here today. And I also like to say thank you to a lot of our friends that have reached out to us in this difficult time and just being there for us and the meals and the cards and the phone calls. And, you know, it really does take a village when you're going through some tough times to just kind of lift you up. So thank you. I want to thank all of you. Before we go into today's topic, I'd like to ask my favorite question. So let's start with you, Brother Morris. What was the best advice or wisdom you have received from someone in your life?
I remember in my early formation as a religious, one of my formators told me that life is a challenge for everybody. And so I was kind of discouraged before I asked him this question. That's why I asked him, why is it so that I find a lot of challenges in religious life? He said to me, in life, you're going to face a lot of challenges. Not only religious life, but also marriage life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to have to take life very easy. Wherever I go and wherever I am, I have to take life very easy. With a great enthusiasm and great zeal for the kingdom of God, whether I'm a religious or a marriage person.
That is a great advice. And it's so true, isn't it, brother?
Yes, it is.
It's not easy.
It's not.
Life is not easy. And I think that, you know, what Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have, you know, problems and troubles, and you will suffer. I really believe now that he said that not to get us so worried and have us all depressed about it, but I think he said that to prepare us.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the same thing that your advisor told you, be prepared. It's not going to be easy, right? But God will be there with you along the way. And knowing that, that it's not up to us to make things easy. It's up, you know, we have to offer it up to God. We have to come to him, just like in your religious life and my married life for 20 years. It's the same thing, right? I mean, whenever we encounter a difficulty, we don't try to solve it alone. Right? You go to him the same way I go to him in my marriage. And you ask him to take over whatever it is that we're having a difficulty with. And then things slowly get easier, right? Our burdens get lighter when we go to him. Don't you agree?
Definitely.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. How about you, Charlie? Can you tell us what one thing that you can remember that was just the best advice or wisdom from someone in your life, please?
There were a couple of things. when I was 11 years old, there was a man across the street sitting on the step having a beer, actually. I think he had one too many beers. But I was very confused in my life at that time. And he said to me, I have no reason to know why. He said, you're going to be a leader someday. Well, I've never become that leader in any sense other than maybe my family. But that statement at a time when I needed someone to believe in me was very important. Right now, I'm reading a book on Matthew Kelly called Life is Messy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a great message, that it's not, we don't get everything supplied for us by God. We don't get answers to all our questions. Much of life is a mystery. There was a friend of mine in the 60s who said that his grandmother said to him, Richard, here's what life is. You make a decision and you take a step forward. If it's not going right, take a step back, make a new decision, and take a step forward. Those kinds of things are solid logic that when all else fails, I turn to that. Other than there have been times, I can think of a time when I was in desperate case, and I couldn't sleep. I was just a mess. And the only thing I could think of was to start repeating the words, Jesus, I trust in you. And I just, as I repeated them, they went from anxious and angry to calmer to peaceful, and then I fell asleep. And I woke up the next day saying, that's important.
That is important. Everything you just said now, and you just shared with us, you know, that man saying that to you at 12 years old, 11 years old you were at that time, and you needed to hear that from someone, right? So it's sort of like, you know, God used him to really talk to you. Because I think, I really believe that's what it is. God uses all of us to talk to other people. You know, to serve other people, to be kind to other people, to give them the message that they need to hear, right? And that was a very important message that you needed to hear, and you still remember that, which is beautiful. And it makes you realize, too, how much we need to be there for other people. And when you have this inclination of giving someone a compliment or saying something nice to someone, it might not even be from you. It's most of the time it's from the Holy Spirit, that God knows that person needs it, and we just need to go ahead and do it. right? So we can be Jesus' hands and his feet and his voice to a world right now, especially that's hurting badly. Well, thank you both of you for sharing that wisdom with us. I love this part of the show. I love asking these questions because I think that we need to reflect back on all the people that have helped us on this journey of life. It is so important to take those little bits of wisdom and pass them on to other people, right? Because we need it. We need it, and we need it badly right now. So thank you. We are going to actually take our first break already. We're going to come right back, okay? Thank you.
The Carolina Catholic Parish Portal is now open. You'll find a section for your parish with contact info and easy access to your parish website, YouTube, and Facebook page. Check out your parish portal today at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org or the Carolina Catholic mobile app.
This is Tammy Harris. I am the founder and executive director of the Ursus Institute. We fight human trafficking both locally and abroad. I'm also a parishioner at St. Gabriel Catholic Church in Charlotte, as well as the Respect Life coordinator there. I urge you to check out my website, www.ursusinstitute.net, or to reach out to me personally at my email, tammy@ursusinstitute.net. Ursus is Latin for bear and is spelled U-R-S-U-S. And my first name, Tammy, is T-A-M-M-Y. We're involved in many operations right now, such as opening a transitional home for survivors in Western North Carolina. We're involved in a documentary about our work and about the realities of human trafficking, both locally and abroad. We're also giving input into anti-human trafficking legislation, involved in intel operations and rescue operations. There's many other things I'd like to share with you, and there's many ways that you can get involved. So I urge you, please text me at 704-519-7901, email me at tammy@ursusinstitute.net, or check out our website, www.ursusinstitute.net. And again, Ursus is spelled U-R-S-U-S. And please be assured that this human trafficking nonprofit works against trafficking in a way that is aligned with Catholic social teaching. Thanks for your time, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Hi, I'm Jean.
And I'm Kathleen. Please join us every Wednesday at 5 for a brand new episode of our show, Joyful Echo.
We absolutely love sharing this time with you. It goes so fast.
Oh my goodness, yes.
We are so committed to praying to the Holy Spirit and seeing what He wants to do in all of our lives.
That's right. Sometimes we're sharing scripture. Sometimes it's something about the saints. When time permits, we will share lovely recipes.
Yes, Kathleen will, because I'm not the best at that lately, but we want you to join us. And if you're new out there and you've not tuned in at 5 o'clock on Wednesday, please come and join us.
Yes, and until then, we are praying for you.
See you later, ladies.
Hello, Carolina Catholic family. This is David Papandrea. Welcome to the beautiful season of Advent and the start of the Catholic Church's new liturgical year. Throughout December, I will share some of the plans we're developing for you in 2022. It is an ambitious plan, but one we believe will help bring Carolina Catholics closer together as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Diocese of Charlotte. Our mission and vision will continue to be driven by our commitment to showcase everything that's going on across our amazing Carolina Catholic community. Three of the unique advantages of Carolina Catholic Media are our ability to share events that are coming up before they happen, broadcasting events when they happen, and to provide encore on-demand programs that you can listen to after they happen. As you think about your year-end gift giving, please keep us in prayerful consideration. You're always welcome to contact me with your ideas, questions, and suggestions. Together, we can make an amazing impact as we evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church across the Carolinas.
Wow. Welcome back to Healed and Restored. I'm Elsa Spady, your host, and today I have the pleasure of having with me Brother Morris and Charlie, my friend Charlie Magro, and we are talking today about the wonderful work being done at the Missionaries of the Poor, right here in Monroe, North Carolina. I remember a few years ago was the first time my family and I found out about the mission, and we had the privilege of going over there a couple of times on a Saturday to help out. And I was truly blown away of everything that they're doing over there. We took the kids. It was a beautiful day. We helped feed. We brought food. We had helped to feed everybody that comes in on a Saturday. And then we helped also put together these meals and groceries that they take home with them for the week. We spent basically a whole day there. We ate with everybody. What a beautiful thing you guys are doing over there. I remember noticing it, that you guys also teach faith formation over there for the kids and the parents, and you do it in their own languages, don't you?
We do.
I think that's so beautiful and so amazing that not only do you feed them, you know, the food that they need for every day, but you're also feeding them the most important food, which is you're bringing Jesus to them.
True.
You know, which is so, so beautiful. So, Father, Brother, let's start with you. What drew you to the Missionaries of the Poor? What was it about this mission that made you say, this is what I want to do with my life?
Growing up as a young man in the village in Kenya.
Okay.
Going into church every Sunday because my mother was very strong. My family was very strong Catholics.
Good.
My father and my mother.
That's beautiful.
They will get us ready for church on Sunday.
Okay.
I used to have that what we call Sunday school.
Okay.
And so she gets me ready for a Sunday school gathering. And it gets to my nerves when she has to get me very early in the morning, get ready to go to the church. And so I did not much understand it, but as the time passed by, I get to understand that she's trying to pull something in my heart,
mm-hmm.
a faith, which mm-hmm. I did not know much about it,
mm-hmm.
faith in Catholicism. And so, and then after I go to church, you see those what we call outer servers, and you know, I was just amazed by how they do things.
Mm-hmm.
And got inspired, and then I joined the outer servers. And from there, I began to be inspired
mm-hmm.
to become a priest.
That's beautiful.
Because they say that the 98 of the outer servers become 98% of mm-hmm. the outer servers becomes priests. So I used to have that in my mind and grew up knowing that
uh-huh.
if I become an outer server, then I might end up becoming a priest.
That's beautiful.
So it was that in my mind throughout my study. Mm-hmm. Throughout my study, and I say, I really wanted to become a somebody to serve the church.
Mm.
I did not know in which way God wanted me to serve, but I wanted either God to call me to be a priest or to be a religious.
Mm.
So as the time passed by, my prayer deepened, asking God to call me to serve Him. And so in my high school, I start my application to become a priest.
Okay.
So I sent different letters, applications, asking to become a candidate in any congregation. And then I get response, come and see.
Uh-huh.
Then I went to different congregations to see the works and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I went and come to the Missionaries of the Poor.
Okay.
And I saw what they do with their own lives.
Mm.
And I say, I think probably this is where God wants me to be.
Oh, that's beautiful.
They really put their hands to reach out to those people who are in need.
Mm-hmm.
As Jesus asked it in the gospel, he'll go to those who are most in need. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw that this is really the work of God, I reapplied again, and then I joined the congregation of the Missionaries of the Poor because I thought that God wanted me to serve the poor.
That's beautiful. I love that, brother. Because, yeah, you were already, since you were serving Mass when you were a young boy, you were already desiring that. You wanted to keep on serving Him. And by having that desire and putting it all out there, God was slowly showing you where you would mostly be happy.
Yes.
Joyful. And that's what it is. You're exactly what you're supposed to be.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Because I can see, I wish everyone could see your face. You have this joy. You radiate this joy.
Thank you.
And it's beautiful. And that to me, now I truly understand, when you're doing something you love, it's not work. It's not hard. Yes, you encounter things that are hard within the work you're doing, but overall, you are joyful because you know you are exactly where you were supposed to be.
Yes.
And that's what's beautiful.
And that's where God wants me to be.
Yes, exactly. God, it's like God created you for that.
Yes.
Right? That's the little puzzle. That's what you fit in God's puzzle. Because I think we all fit differently, right? Mm-hmm. In God's puzzle. We try to imitate other people, which is silly. It's stupid. It's a waste of time. You know, we have been given our own talents, our own gifts for a purpose, because God is the master plan, and He knows how all the pieces of the puzzle fit together.
Yes.
Right? And you found your little corner and where you fit.
And God bless me right in that corner.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. That is beautiful.
So how long have you been with the Missionaries of the Poor?
I have been with the congregation for 13 years.
13 years?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you started young, Father. You look young. You look young.
Thank you.
Yes, you do. So explain to us and to the listeners how it works over there. You live type of a monastic life, right? I mean, how many brothers and priests live in the house in Monroe?
In Monroe, currently, 6 brothers are assigned there.
Okay.
At the moment, we do not have a priest.
Okay.
Yes.
So you have 6 brothers in the house. Kind of walk us into a day of your life over there, please. What does your day look like?
I would say a day, day in, day out, we're just busy with the work of God.
Mm-hmm.
We wake up early in the morning at as early as 5:20.
Okay.
We start our prayer schedule, mass, and adoration. Then right after that, we have breakfast.
Okay.
After breakfast, we start our daily chores. We have the warehouse, first and foremost, where we gather food stuff so that we can distribute to those people who are in need. We also go to the nursing homes.
Okay.
Where we do perform communion service.
Okay.
For the Catholics who are there.
Okay.
After pray for them and giving them a word of consolation for in the situations they are in.
Sure. You go to bring them Jesus and bring them love. And that's beautiful. So throughout the week, are you collecting these groceries? I noticed when we were there that someone said that it was a Harris Teeter that you guys, they were helping and they would give you guys a certain amount of groceries to give away every week. Do they still do that, or is that something that's still going on over there?
I think they have stopped for now because of the pandemic.
Okay.
But we got a good amount of people, like our friend here with us, Charlie. These friends are so generous to us because they know what they give, it doesn't belong to us. It goes to the poorest people we have in our
in the area, yes. And can you tell us a little bit about the number of people that you are serving? And who are these people? Explain to the listeners, because I think it's good to talk about that too, so people can put a face to those in need? You know, who are the people that you are serving, and how many people would you say you serve on a weekly basis or a monthly basis? What would you say?
Basically, we work with the Hispanic community.
Hispanics, okay.
Afro community, Afro-American communities.
Okay.
Around us. Mm-hmm. And it's a good amount of them. We got about 100 families at the moment.
100 families.
Right before the pandemic, it was huge amount of people coming in.
Okay.
But now because of the pandemic and the restrictions, mm-hmm. we have stopped keeping in the monastery. We have to go to them at this moment. We do not allow them to come in.
Okay.
We have now to go to them.
I see. So you don't have those Saturdays that I came in with my family. Those Saturdays are not happening anymore.
Not happening at the moment, but we got just one day. Only one day is happening.
Okay.
We get them come in, and we have mass. Then right after mass, we distribute those groceries you are talking about.
Okay. Is it one day a week still, brother?
Yes.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about definitely the immigrants that come here without anything. And being an immigrant myself, I remember how difficult it can be, especially in the beginning, right? Until you get your footage, because you're coming into a different land. You don't speak the language. You don't know how things work. You don't know if you're going to be able to find a job. You're talking about sometimes families coming in together, you know, because they have to leave their country. They can't feed their families, you know, or they're afraid to go out on the street, and the violence is everywhere. I don't think people realize what these people are facing in their own countries. They don't just come in because they want to get out of there, you know, that they want to come to the States. Most of them come in because they don't have any other choice. They're really looking for a better life for them and for their families. So I understand exactly the heart, the mind of the immigrant, and I so appreciate what you are doing over there in Monroe, because it's so important to help those that can't help themselves. And that's the people that, you know, a lot of times they're afraid to go out. What you're doing is so needed. Thank you. Thank you, brother. And
you're
please
welcome.
Thank all the other brothers over there for all that you are doing, because this is a beautiful work that needs to be done. We're going to take one more break and we're going to come right back. Thank you.
Carolina Catholic Radio is an important evangelization tool in daily life. Whether you're in your car, at work, or working out, it's a great time to learn, love, and live your faith. Catch the Spirit. Prayerfully consider a tax-deductible donation today at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org.
Carolina Catholic News. Are concerns of anxiety, loneliness, or depression plaguing you or a loved one during this time of uncertainty? Catholic Charities Diocese of Charlotte's Mental Health Counseling Program is available to help. The agency now provides telecounseling sessions, which means that more people across the entire diocese can access mental health counseling. Telecounseling is offered through an easy-to-use and secure HIPAA-compliant platform. People use their computer, mobile phone, or tablet to have a one-on-one confidential session with a counselor. The online sessions last about an hour and include the same quality and types of services as in-person counseling. Counseling is available to individuals and couples, and bilingual counseling sessions are also available. All mental health counseling staff possess a master's degree in either psychology, counseling, or social work, and are licensed to provide behavioral health care in North Carolina. Operating within the social teachings of the Catholic Church, they consistently provide professional, evidence-based therapeutic interventions in treating behavioral health problems, ranging from relationship, stress and adjustment problems, to acute and chronic mental illness. Services are provided on a sliding fee scale based on income and health insurance coverage when possible. Access to a computer is needed to receive these services. Go to CarolinaCatholicRadio.org, news section, for all the details. For the Carolina Catholic News, I'm Pam Cullen. God bless y'all.
Welcome back to Healed and Restored. I'm Elsa Spady, your host, and today I have the privilege to have with me Brother Morris from the Missionaries of the Poor here in Monroe. We're talking about the wonderful work they're doing there. I also have here with me my wonderful friend, Charlie Magro, and he has been helping the Missionaries of the Poor for how long, Charlie? How long have you known about them? How did you come to know about them? And tell us a little bit about how you help them. Give our listeners an idea of how they can help with the mission of the Missionaries of the Poor, please, Charlie.
Yeah, I think that the Holy Spirit probably touched me about a year after he touched Brother Morris.
Okay.
It's been about 12 years.
Okay.
We were coming down to Charlotte half a year at a time, and I went to the first Catholic Men's Conference. I met two brothers from the Missionaries of the Poor.
At the conference?
At the conference, who were then over here in Monroe. And they told me about Jamaica and what they do. And I had already set up a vacation for my wife and myself. I was going to present it to her for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And we were going to go to Ocho Rios, Jamaica.
Okay.
So I found out that Kingston is over the mountain from Ocho Rios. And I was impressed by the spirituality of the brothers. And I was curious and wanted to know more. So my wife agreed. We hired a cab at 4 o'clock in the morning to pick us up and take us. It was about a two-hour drive,
okay,
maybe more, over the mountain. When you're in Ocho Rios or Montego, you see the tourist world. Mm-hmm. When you drive over the mountain, you see the real Jamaica.
I bet.
And the poverty was amazing.
Mm. Striking, I'm sure. You can't forget that. When you see that, you can't unsee.
Especially when you're from America.
Yes.
Even the poor parts of America don't compare to
it's very true
the poverty of Jamaica. But we met the brothers, and Father Ho Long at the main monastery is Holy Angels?
Our Lady of Angels. Our Lady of Guadalupe. Our Lady of Guadalupe. Okay.
And they were in a hurry. By the time we got there, they were all gathering and getting ready to go to a residence they call Bethlehem.
Okay.
It's for the children. And so they said, well, get in the car and follow us.
Wow, okay.
And we get to there and we go in the basement, which is where the kids are and where the clothing is all the clothing that was donated, it's all stacked like it looks like it was done by an industrial laundry. It's so well done.
Wow.
But they just said, grab a kid and get them ready for church.
Oh, wow.
And so that's the instruction you get. Go ahead, make yourself useful.
Yeah.
And so I dressed this young boy, and he was all twisted. I don't know what the disease is, muscular dystrophy or something.
Okay.
And when I got him dressed, we were told to take him upstairs, so I tried to get him into a carriage. But he was so twisted and stiff, I couldn't get him in, so I decided to carry him.
Oh.
I carried him up. I sat down a couple pews behind the brothers, and I'm awkward. I don't know what to do. I never
sure.
did anything like this. And I was rubbing his right shoulder, and he was like this, twisted away from me. And I'm just praying to myself and stroking his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And the mass started, and the brothers were singing. The choir was so beautiful. And little by little, I saw he started to relax a little, and he was like this, looking at me out of the side of his eye.
Mm.
And I felt like I was holding Jesus Christ.
That's beautiful, Charlie.
Yeah. He really relaxed, and he turned and looked at me.
Mm.
And then I felt like Jesus Christ was holding me.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so beautiful that you took us there to that experience, because I think that it's what it's about. We have to remember that that is Jesus. Those people that can't help themselves, the poor, the underprivileged, the sick, the dying. Those are all Jesus.
Yeah.
And you felt it that day. And I bet that you would never forget that day.
No.
As long as you live.
That's the day he called me to do something.
I can tell.
Idea what to do. But, we spent the day. We went to the Lord's house, which is right across the alleyway, really, from Bethlehem. And there they have adults that are mentally ill, mentally disabled, physically disabled, AIDS patients.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I met a woman in the AIDS section, which is quarantined. Mm-hmm. And her name was Dorcas. And I thought, what a strange name, Dorcas. I never heard a name like mm-hmm. that. And it wasn't, maybe a year later that I'm reading the Bible and there's Dorcas. Who knew, you know?
Who knew? But many names hidden in there that sometimes we don't even remember it's in there.
But the whole thing impacted us so much, what they were doing. Unlike America where we have money, the state has money. And if the brothers here wanted to take in a child, they would have to file adoption papers and, mm-hmm. you know the process.
Yeah.
In Jamaica, the government has no money, and they are just appreciative. And they call the missionaries of the poor, and they say, we have this child with this debilitating disease. Will you take him? Yeah, sure. And that's it.
Goodness, yes.
And but we came back. They told us about the mission in Monroe. And so I wanted to go there, and we went there as soon as we came home.
Mm-hmm.
And we met the brother who was leading at the time. And I made the mistake of saying, what can I do to help?
Be never, careful what you ask for.
Never
right?
ask a missionary, what can I do to help, unless you're really ready to help.
That is so true.
So that's what I've been doing.
That's beautiful.
And I used to do more than I do now. I was physically more able, myself and my grandson at first, and then Brother Peter. We basically redid the plumbing at the original monastery. And I learned a lot. Brother Peter knew nothing about construction or tools.
Uh-huh.
But he had a humility that just can't be beat. And we're working under the house, and I'm in a hurry because it took an hour and a half to drive there and an hour and a half to drive home.
Yeah, that's a long drive.
And
yeah.
I have a family and a whole house of my own, so I want to get a lot of work done while I'm there. But we're under the house, and they start to pray upstairs, and we can hear them. And Brother Peter says, we will pray. They don't ask, do you want to pray? They just assume you're going to say yes. So they say,
of course,
we will pray. So I go, well, no, brother, I'm busy. I got to get done. I can't, it costs a lot of money to come down here and time. But finally, I said, why not? I'll go up and pray. So I prayed with them, and then they want to eat. So now there's another hour.
Another break.
But sooner or later, I began to learn that that's as much a part of the work as the work.
That's right.
And so
that's right. If not the most important part of the work.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And what they do there is amazing. And I'm so privileged to be a part of that.
That's beautiful. Thank you. And yes, and how often would you say you volunteer over there at the facility, Charlie?
At this time, it's mostly on an as-needed basis.
Sure.
I have my own ministry going, so I go uptown with the homeless on my own.
That's wonderful.
Actually, Brother Morris went with me, not the last time I went, but the time before that. I really enjoy that. But when they need, they call, my heater's not working, the electric is out over here. And, I go down.
So you're basically the go-to guy, right?
Myself and Santos. There's a few.
The that's wonderful, because that's what you need. You need that support, right, brother? It's important to have surround yourself with a support system of people that you can call anytime.
Oh, yes.
And they're there to help you. And if they can't help you, they'll find someone else that can help you.
That's definitely exactly right.
It takes a village. Everything takes a village.
Yes.
And I love when we talk about that, because it just reminds everyone who's listening right now that it takes a village to help the poor.
Like they say in Kenya, it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes. Yeah, and I agree that it does too. It does take a village to raise a child. And we all need each other. We're here for that, to be each other's helpers, you know, to walk this walk together. And we're going to come right back and talk a little more about the missionaries of the poor. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, Carolina Catholic family. This is David Papandrea. Welcome to the beautiful season of Advent and the start of the Catholic Church's new liturgical year. Throughout December, I will share some of the plans we're developing for you in 2022. It is an ambitious plan, but one we believe will help bring Carolina Catholics closer together as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Diocese of Charlotte. Our mission and vision will continue to be driven by our commitment to showcase everything that's going on across our amazing Carolina Catholic community. Three of the unique advantages of Carolina Catholic Media are our ability to share events that are coming up before they happen, broadcasting events when they happen, and to provide encore on-demand programs that you can listen to after they happen. As you think about your year-end gift giving, please keep us in prayerful consideration. You're always welcome to contact me with your ideas, questions, and suggestions. Together, we can make an amazing impact as we evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church across the Carolinas.
Do you have a desire to conform your life more closely to Jesus Christ? Are you longing for a richer, deeper spiritual life while living in the world? Do you want greater spiritual discipline? Do you want to walk along a well-trod path of sanctification and holiness? Would you like to be part of a religious order that has a strong devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary? Would you like to dedicate your life to liturgical and contemplative prayer and the study of sacred truth, sharing the fruits thereof with others? Do you find within you a holy zeal to fight for truth and justice? Do you have a strong desire for the salvation of souls, to take them by the hand and teach them? Do you want to join the Church's mission of preaching the truth of Christ as He revealed to His holy Church? If all this sounds like you, we invite you to contact the Charlotte Lay Dominicans at our website, charlottelaydominicans.org. That's charlottelaydominicans.org. We look forward to meeting you.
Hello, Carolina Catholic family. This is David Papandrea. Welcome to the beautiful season of Advent and the start of the Catholic Church's new liturgical year. Throughout December, I will share some of the plans we're developing for you in 2022. It is an ambitious plan, but one we believe will help bring Carolina Catholics closer together as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Diocese of Charlotte. Our mission and vision will continue to be driven by our commitment to showcase everything that's going on across our amazing Carolina Catholic community. Three of the unique advantages of Carolina Catholic Media are our ability to share events that are coming up before they happen, broadcasting events when they happen, and to provide encore on-demand programs that you can listen to after they happen. As you think about your year-end gift giving, please keep us in prayerful consideration. You're always welcome to contact me with your ideas, questions, and suggestions. Together, we can make an amazing impact as we evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church across the Carolinas.
Welcome back to Healed and Restored. I'm Elsa Spady, your host, and today I have with me Brother Morris from the Missionaries of the Poor right here in Monroe, North Carolina. And I also have Charlie Magrill, who's a dear friend, a parishioner at St. Mark, and who has been helping them for over a decade, which is beautiful. We just heard his story about how he came to know about them, which is awesome. And I love stories. I love to hear the backstory on everything, you know, because it's so important to see how God prepared everything for you. You know, he wanted you to know about them so you can help the mission. And that's beautiful. And let's talk, Brother Morris, let's talk about how people can help you. And I really want to address this now because this is the time of the year where a lot of folks are looking to decide who they want to give to, which organizations they want to give to before the end of the year. So I want to, if there's someone listening right now and they're still wondering, where does God want me to help? How can I help financially if I can't be there to help and cook for them or feed them? Maybe I can help financially, because we have to remember that's just as important, you know, because the brothers cannot do what they are doing if they don't have the financial assistance from all of us. So it takes a village again. So let's talk about, I'm going to give everybody the address. So Missionaries of the Poor is located at 1403-1403 Griffith Road in Monroe, North Carolina, and the zip code is 28112. And if you have the time, or if you make the time to go and say hello to the brothers and see their whole mission, I promise you, you are going to be blown away about what you see. They have a simple home, but they do have this acreage, which is beautiful. They have gardens in the back. It's really a pretty place to come and maybe join them for Mass one day. And then just get to know the mission. Just get to know what they are doing and maybe find out where you fit. You know, what part of the puzzle is God calling you to be a part of within the Missionaries of the Poor? And I also would like to give everybody their website, www.missionariesofthepoor.org. Again, it's www.missionariesofthepoor.org. Check them out. Check their website. You will be very impressed with the work they are doing for the poor in our area. So now I want to ask Brother Morris, what is that you guys are in desperate need of right now? If there's someone listening to this podcast, someone who will be listening to this podcast at any time, what is your most urgent need right now, brother?
At the moment, I would ask whoever might need to help. Last year, at the beginning of this year, a tree fell on our greenhouse, and that greenhouse was completely destroyed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. And that greenhouse, we plant seedlings where after that we transplant it to our gardens, and then we use those food stuffs from the garden, the vegetables from the gardens to feed the people around us.
Sure.
And so we are looking for someone who could help us to put up another greenhouse so that we can be able to reach out to those people in our surrounding through planting vegetables in our gardens.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. I think that's a great need. And I think that we can find a couple of guys, right? I mean, if you're listening right now and you're thinking my husband or my son, or maybe let's get a couple of, young high school kids. Right now it's Christmas break. Maybe we can get a couple of people over there to help you build your greenhouse again. So if you're listening and you're wondering, can I help with this? Reach out to Brother Morris. You can also email them at, what is the email address again?
Missionaries of the Poor.
Missionaries of the Poor.
.onc.
.org. No, that's not the email. Hold on.
Missionaries of the Poor NC.
Okay. At Gmail, is it? Hold on. We're double checking on the email address.
This is the problem with smartphones. You stop looking. Just push buttons.
That's right. That's okay, though. Just want to make sure that whoever's listening, that if you're feeling like God is nudging at you, the Holy Spirit is nudging at you to help the missionaries of the poor, this is how you can help. And to send them an email, to start a conversation with them, you email mopmonroenc@missionariesofthepoor.org. Okay? And the phone number, 704-635-8831. Again, the phone number, 704-635-8831. Think about how you can help. And I'm going to give you also Brother's cell phone number, 704-999-6354. Again, that's 704-999-6354. And that's the cell phone number for Brother Morris, who I have here with me. And just remember, it takes a village. They need our help. This greenhouse needs to be repaired, replaced, so they can continue to have their vegetable garden in there to be able to feed the poor, those that can't feed themselves. So I just ask that you prayerfully consider coming forward, emailing them, maybe go stop by and see what this operation is all about. Go meet the brothers right now, the six of them there. Go have mass with them. Go see what God is calling you to do, how God is calling you to be a part of this and to help the less privileged that among us. I mean, they're right around the corner from us, you know. We all have so much. And in this country, in the United States, it's really difficult to see the poor because it's really isolated. They're not all over. You know, I grew up in Brazil, and it was very different. You could see them. You can see them. And there's a problem here, I think, that if you're out of sight, out of mind, right? So actually, as someone who grew up in a third world country, I make a point that my kids see the poor. So every opportunity I have, whether it's through something like this or whether it's through what we do at our parish for the homeless people, I make sure my kids are involved because they don't have the opportunity to see the poor on a regular basis. And if we don't show them, I think that it's very easy to become desensitized and not think of them because we're not seeing them on a regular basis. And there's a danger in that, you know, because we are supposed to help them. Just because we don't see them on a regular basis does not mean they're not there and they need us. Right, brother?
Yes, definitely.
Thank you. Would you like to add anything else? I can't believe that our time together has flown by. It really has gone by fast. Tell us what else. How else can they help? Can they come over with a bag of groceries and just drop it off?
Yes, definitely. At this moment, we notice that the number of those people we are helping is increasing because of the pandemic.
Sure.
So we need also to reach out more and more to them. So somebody bringing a bag of rice, a pack of beans, a canned food, it will help these people in one way or the other. So we are also in need of groceries as much as you can. Mm-hmm. We'll be appreciating those kind of stuff so that we can reach out to these people who I need. But most also, finally, I would also like to ask that you consider very much us in your prayers. Please remember to pray for us because we are in a journey which is sometimes too tedious and we need prayers so that we can keep going in reaching out to the people who are in need. Thank you.
Because what you do is not easy. It's only by the grace of God.
Definitely, yes.
Right? I mean, you're basically just counting on God's providence.
Yes.
And that, it's beautiful in a way, but I'm sure it's not easy.
Yes.
Right? Because you guys, you need our help. You need us to help you so you can carry on this mission. And keeping you in your prayers is definitely something that I will continue to do. And I love what you're doing, brother.
Thank you.
And
so
I pray that God will continue to bless you and the other brothers, mm-hmm. and open all the right doors and bring all the right people, the right help that you need to continue on with this amazing mission of the Missionaries of the Poor. I know there's a lot of people in need now more than ever with this pandemic. Think about those that can't find jobs or you know, they're sick at home and they have little kids and they can't provide for them. I can't even imagine how difficult it must be for a lot of these people right now. So let's pray together that we can unite as a community. We are a very, very big diocese right now with thriving. There's a lot of really good people. And the people of this diocese, I've noticed, they're very giving. They're very good. They understand when they need to step up. And I would like to ask that you step up. The people of our diocese, let's step up in a big way and help the Missionaries of the Poor. And Charlie, I think you want to add something. Go ahead.
Yeah. In addition to the families that they serve in the Charlotte Diocese, they also gather dry goods, whatever they can, to send over to Jamaica, and they fill a container. And then they haul it and ship it over to Jamaica. That's also a constant part of their work. When they say garden, you'd have to see it to believe it. Each of the gardens are probably 12 to 15 feet wide and 20 or so feet long, and there's probably 8 or 10 of them. They grow a lot of food, and they don't grow it for themselves. They grow it to give away. Mostly, I want to say, if you're in the Charlotte area, or even if you're from a distance, because we've seen people come from other states, Milwaukee and other places, but if you go there, you'll be giving them something, but you'll be getting so much more.
It is so true.
When you see poor on television, they're two-dimensional. As much as it may be touching, when you see poor and you sit and have a meal with them, or you pray with them, or you learn how to say the Hail Mary in Spanish with them, which is a struggle for an Anglo like myself, but they touch you. And when you see the happiness of the brothers, the things that would make me just freak right out, they just roll off their back as if they were ducks. That touches you and it changes you. So do yourself a favor. Go help them and let God help you back.
Thank you, Charlie. That was beautiful and so well said. Well, thank you guys for being here today. This was awesome. You know, I was so looking forward to this show because I knew it was going to be very inspiring. And this time of year, especially, you know, with Christmas just a week away, less than a week away, 5 days away, you know, this is the time of year that we need to really be focusing on Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the work you are doing at the Missionaries of the Poor is all about that. It's about focusing on Jesus through focusing on his people, on those that need us the most. So thank you for being here, and thank you for the wonderful job you are doing over there, Brother Morris.
You're welcome.
Keep up the good work. And you
thank
too,
you.
Charlie. Thank you for all that you do. You're such an inspiration. Merry Christmas to everyone. Merry Christmas to your families. Merry Christmas to all the brothers. I hope it's a beautiful
a
blessed one. And again, this is your show. Thank you for tuning in every week, and thank you for all your love and support. I do it for you. This is your show, and go visit the missionaries of the poor. Just like Charlie said, you are going to be giving a gift. You're thinking you're going over there to help them, but you're going to receive so much more. Until next time, take good care. Merry Christmas and God bless. Bye-bye.